Yes.
And I vote yes, we're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next matter is change of zone number 2052. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR-MR-RPC medium density residential planned community for 210 units for certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 60.84 acres, more or less. The properties are lying on the west side of New Road, which is Sussex County Route 391, approximately 80 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available. On the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 7.00, 8.01 and 9.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the State's Plus comments, a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which included the applicant's Chapter 99-99C response, a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment, the drainage assessment report, the DelDOT traffic operational analysis, a copy of the proposed homeowners association covenants, a copy of the forest assessment report, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's resource management plan, along with a copy of the school district notification letter, along with technical advisory committee comments, including comments received from Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. I would also note that we have received zero comments. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of September 17th of this year. And at the meeting of October 1st of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 8 reasons of approval and subject to the 18 recommended conditions of approval as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packets. Thank you.
All right.
Any from Council? If not, Mr. Willard. Press the button on your, there you go.
Good evening, Mr. President. My name is Tim Willard with Fuquay, I almost said Fuquay, Yori, and Willard, but Fuquay, Willard, and Schaub. Bad news is, I've sort of learned after I was a prosecutor with this gentleman, coming up with Mr. Fuquay, who's always taught me to be very thorough, cover all bases. The good news is I'm not a very good student. At least tonight I'm not. So there's a PowerPoint, and I have hard copies of it that I'll pass up. Sometimes it's easier to look at than up there. I know you're shuffling paper, and you'll go this way, Mr. Moore?
Either way. At this time of night, I don't care.
There should be enough there. Let me introduce my client first. This is Russ Garufi, he's right here, or he's over there. He's a principal. His partner, Fabian Rodriguez, they both have an interest in the property. Russ actually lives right across the street there on New Road, has for years, has worked in southern Sussex County in Maryland for years, building houses, and now he's building boats. He's been down there for a while. He purchased properties, three of them, parcels actually, sort of in anticipation of doing something for his grandchildren. Over here is Rich Polk. Behind him is Eric Jones, and you all know Mr. Wetlands, Ed Lene. So they're here to answer any questions. This is an AR, a change of zone from AR to MR-RPC. I saw you all 2 weeks ago with it was just an RPC, no change of zone, so you all know what an RPC is. This one, we're asking for change of zone to MR, which gives you a little more density. I'll tell you the reason why. First of all, as was said from the outset, you had a not unanimous decision a couple weeks ago from the Planning Commission that approved this. They had 8 reasons why they did. They had 7 reasons why it met the RPC Superior guideline, and they had 20 conditions. A lot of them were ones that we recommended, and they approved it all. And just from the outset, I'll just say we have no problems with anything they did. In fact, we hope you follow that. So if I can go to the PowerPoint. That's slide 1. You just see that that's an overall of the site plan, which is single family at the top, bottom are duplexes. And if you can go to the next tab. So this gives you an idea of where it is. We've gone south here to the area that most of you are familiar with, where Route 20 and Lighthouse Road or 54 and Zion Road meet. It's sort of a hub of commercial activity. Americana Bayside is down there. We'll talk more about that. There are 3 existing parcels on the property across from Mr. Garufi's home. 7, 801, and 9. They're all represented there by that L shape along New Road. It's between Selbyville and Frederick. It's about 80 feet off of Lighthouse Road, 0.5 miles east of Williamsville, 100 feet north of Lighthouse Road. I said 80, but they said it's somewhere in between there, and 1,300 feet off of Zion Road up to the north. So it's between those two roads. And I know, Mr. President, you're very familiar. Next slide, please. So because this is a change of zone to MR, we want to focus on what's going on around there. And if you look at that, the parcel, which is you see just recently, actually, there's been some fairly amount of MR in the area, Bayside and the Melson property right to the south, Bay Knolls to the south there, and Long property. And our density is 3.45. Those that are pretty close to it are 3.67, 3.87. There's Arlington Woods that's an MR at 4.7. Long Neck property is MR 2.89. So you can see that whole corridor there is got pretty higher density, for density consistent with what we're asking for. And you see even on Zion Road and up on 54, you see some HR, which is 6.7. And down, if you go further down the road, I don't want to belabor it, but there's a lot of commercial activity there where Bayside is. There's Brazier's Pest Control is actually closer to them. Brazier's Carpet Cleaning, Brandywine, Fenwick Island by Monarch, Nemours Children's Health Hospital, BB's Hospital, Wine and Spirits, Hometown Creamery, Maximum Hair, PNC Bank. There's a pizza place, Capstone Homes, Villa Studio, Royal Farms, Vogue Salon, Luna's Cactus Cafe is in that intersection, and that's not all of them. So the point is, it's near a commercial area. If you go to the next slide, then. So I'm not going to belabor it, and Mr. Whitehouse, even in his condition, can talk pretty fast. He told you everything that's in this book. And I mean, these projects, and some of you guys are coming on, maybe you've seen it now. This project's been in the works for about 2 years. There's a lot of information in those books. You know, in particular, there's the environmental assessment, a public facility evaluation, resource buffer management plan, forest assessment buffer. So the as well as our 99.9C subdivision factors that we all have to comply with, the response to them. There's the county's initial questions about thing and our answers embedded in them. I'm not going to go through all those, just to let you know that, at least according to the Planning Commission, we've satisfied all those requirements. And I just point out that there's been a lot of work done on this property. If you can go to the next slide, slide number 5. This just shows you that existing utilities are available. Water is by Artesian, and in the booklet there's actually a letter of service that they're going to provide. There's a 12-inch main along New Road. Central sewer is also available. There's an 8-inch stub, and that's what that map shows, at manholes, northern at New Road and Route 20, and southern at New Road and Route 54. Natural gas is available through Chesapeake with an 8-inch main, and electric service is available. And that shows you where they all are available. Parcel 9 is available to annex into the sewer district, but there's always been already been communication with the engineer department, and it's available or adjacent. And you go to next slide, 6. It shows you what the property was, and this photo, I think, is from 2011, although these parcels have, the lower parcel has been farmed, up above has been timbered. This was a 2011 photograph about 10 plus years ago, showing that it's been pretty heavily forested, or timbered, I'm sorry, over the years. And prior to that, for decades, it has been taken, probably anything that's good. So you'll see that there's a forest assessment report that was done for the border buffers and such, where they measure diameter of all the trees on the property. It's pretty detailed, and that's, you'll see plans of that, where they say most of the heart of the property is shrub forest. Note that when you get looking at the plan, that we're preserving all the forest around the edge, all according to the new buffer laws. You want to go to the next slide? 7. This shows the forest assessment and buffer preservation I just spoke of. On the left-hand side, you might need a magnifying glass, but it shows there's 30 feet of forested buffer and another 20 feet. So there's actually 50 feet of buffer in any area where there's already forest. The first 30 is protected. And those delineations and charts shows what trees are there. So it's been recorded what the diameter of them are, and they're being preserved. And if you look at the right-hand side of that slide, you see the 50-foot setback from active agricultural uses, 30-foot retained forest perimeter buffer where woodlands exist, 20-foot perimeter buffer protection area where woodlands exist, and then there's existing tree line. If you go down at that end of the property, if there's no forest there, there's going to be at least a 30-foot landscape perimeter buffer, and that's just the green. Next slide is 8. This shows the resource and resource buffer preservation. There's a ephemeral creek that goes through there, which means it's sometimes dry. There are no state wetlands, but they're federal wetlands. And this is a creek that goes there that's sometimes dry, but sometimes wet. When it is, that's a wetland area that Mr. Lene has identified there that will be preserved in the green hash areas. And that requires two different zones of preserved area. First, Zone A and a Zone B, which is also 15 feet. Requirement plus more, which is the light blue and the yellow, and that will all be preserved area. That's in the middle of the property. You'll see a little and a bigger view on the slide to come. That's coming out. They're actually improving how some of the irrigation comes off that farm field to the left-hand side. No, you'll see they're improving the culvert that crosses New Road. So here's the next slide, please. And this is the site plan showing that the total of 60.84 acres is 100 single family lots in the top, 140. There are a total of 210 lots in the density is 3.45 units per acre, which is calculated. I can go through the calculation, but they reduce the roads, and they got 52.9 divided by 10,000, which is the allotted lot size, which gives you a total of permitted density of 230, and we're at 210.
Mr. Willard, could you move closer to your microphone? IT is saying we can't hear you on the line, so.
It's not your cold, it's...
No,
I gotcha. Sorry about that. The calculations just determine that we're permitted density for this is 230 and we have 210 we're proposing. Next slide, please. And this is just more of a blow up of just the single family. You can see, this lets me point at anything. Does it? Sort of. We're on the wall, but it disappears when it hits that. So I'll just say in the top left corner, you see there's going to be access to some of that open space that is the buffers. That's the pink lines between the two trails on the left-hand side. If you see that, there's sidewalks on at least one side of every road. Each parcel is going to be at least 7,500 square feet. Most of them are larger than that. And they'll have plenty of parking, which is required by statute, on each lot itself, not on the road. I think there's 3 available. And you see the stormwater off to the right, stormwater pond. The one that's in the highest, most high on the right-hand corner, that was where that sort of depressed area was, where they did a lot of heavy timbering. So it wasn't really a wetland area or anything. It's just a natural place to put stormwater. And the larger one is just stormwater is just... north of where the wetlands are being preserved. And I think the next slide will show you the duplex areas. These will all be 104 duplex fee simple lots. You'll own your duplex. There'll just be 2 units that are connected to each other. There'll be a minimum lot size of 3,800 square feet. There's a sidewalk on each side. There's some open space in the middle. You'll see in the bottom right-hand corner, there's connection on the bottom right-hand corner to the, there's a multimodal shared path there that runs along New Road that's going to be added. I'll talk a little bit more about that side and the buffer. The same access will be from the single family up in the corner that'll get you to that bike path sooner. And you see the southern entrance there. Next slide. So this shows you the open space there. There's 30% required. Arguably, there could be 10% based on what it is, but we made it 30 because of the cluster. In any event, it's 30%, which is required, which is 18.25, and we have 22.24 or 36.5% provided with the buffers and the resource areas and the active and passive. So we're going less than the density that's permitted and higher significantly than the open space. Next slide, please. As far as DelDOT, there was a traffic operation assessment, I think is what they call it, which means it's been studied at 54 and, can we say traffic still, or you go?
No.
You gonna shut me down?
No.
I'm trying to think of another word I can call it. As far as cars and roads, no, but this was traffic operations assessment, and when that was shared with DelDOT, there were certain features that were recommended be done based on the development, and those are widening to DelDOT standards across the frontage, adding bike lanes, two 11-feet lanes, and a 5-foot shoulder. There's going to be a right turn lane headed south, and we're going to have close-ups on that. I can show you better, I think, in the next one. Right turn lane going on 54 as well. So basically, they're improving the entrance on New Road. And all of this is going to be on the developer's side, obviously. They're going to have a multimodal path and a right turn lane as you head south on New Road. To the next slide. So this shows the northern entrance in a little more detail. You see you have because there was forest there, so that forested buffer is going to remain in addition to a 20-foot, an additional buffer. You see the entrance there, the shared use path, that's maybe easier to say than multimodal, along the side, and right turn lane. You can go to the next, and there's internal sidewalks there to get out that way. So you can get to the bike path as a pedestrian or a bike, you know, at the top of the northernmost part, the southernmost part, or the main entrance. And then we're going to the southern entrance, which is very similar. You still have, I think it's a 200-some feet right turn lane as you head south. The shared use path goes along the side. You see those blue lines is how some of the drainage will work. And on the left-hand side of that, you see where the culvert crosses from Roy Creek, from the wetlands area. And that'll be improved. You can go to the next slide. So these are the amenities right in the middle. So they're halfway, you know, they're between the single family and the duplex. There's an HOA, obviously, and they have to be built in time pursuant to your code. There's a bathhouse, community rooms, bath changing rooms, pool deck, pool, bike racks, flagpole, picnic tables. There's a parking area. There's an EV charger.
Yeah, I think, my apologies to interrupt, Mr. Willer. I think as IT is standing at the door, is it that we cannot, yeah. When you turn away to face the...
Okay, so I'm going to lean into this a little bit.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sorry. There's somebody back there listening. That's good. So there's an EV charger, landscape islands, an active recreation space, playground, pickleball. Well, the pickleball court, and I think the condition... makes that optional because that can be a problematic. So we don't want to have to put in a pickleball court. You all may have experienced some controversy about that. It can be kind of noisy. So it was a good idea when it was first planned, but we'd like to just make that an optional condition. And if it is, we'll do some other active recreational there. And there's yard area and landscaping all along there. And there are bike racks as well. And that's right across from the main stormwater, which is kind of an open space feature. It's kind of nice, and it's between those duplex places and single family. So you can go to the next, if you like. This is very similar to the previous, you're ahead of me up there. Previous slides, it just shows a bigger picture of where the wetlands fit into where the amenities are, and also, a little more detail of where the buffers are with in relation to everything else, but that's really a similar slide as you've seen. And stop me if you have any questions, of course. Next slide, please. So these are maps. You have the wellhead protection area, and they're good to go there. The artesian water service area, you're good to go there, and a sanitary sewer district. You see 9 at the top has a little different color because it's going to be annexed in, and there shouldn't be a problem to do that as well. Well, in the big book, you have an engineer report to that effect. The next page, slide 19, you see the zoning map. We've talked about a lot of what's going on below there, all the MR and the density that basically surrounds it with HR. There's GR, which even has higher density at the top. You see the comprehensive map. This is a coastal area, which is a growth zone, and calls for MR as an appropriate zone here. I'm scared to use the word that's paramount, as Mr. Fuqua did, but it's important, right?
Yeah.
Important's better.
But you've acted on this before, and I have these ordinances, if you need them, of some of the ones that were passed right south of Lighthouse just recently saying it's MR. And the Planning Commission seemed to agree for this particular project. State strategies, it's mostly level 3 with some 4, and sometimes that doesn't really make sense because it should all be 4-3 at least. And the FEMA flood zone shows there's no issue there. It's not in a flood zone. And again, this is a repetition of the first slide, which shows all the property that's around it. And if you look at, excuse me for a second, if you look at the Planning Commission's approval, I'll just cite what they say about the area when they approved it unanimously. The proposed MRRPC is in close proximity to the intersection of 20 and 54, where a commercial center has been established and which services residents in the vicinity, like an urban area. This area has higher residential density and is served by various commercial businesses. That was number 2. Number 4, the MRRPC is consistent with the development trend of the area that includes a variety of different zoning districts and both single-family homes and townhomes. It is also similar to the densities of nearby communities, including Bay Knolls, Bayside Melson, and Long Properties development. According to the county's current comprehensive plan, the project is the coastal area. This is their reason 7. Coastal area development, such as this MRRPC, is appropriate in this area. According to the plan permits residential development with a mixed housing types within the coastal area. And that's really the important, I think, Mr. Lloyd, you asked that, why would you do an RPC versus something else? The RPC lets you do mixed uses. And even as you talked about in the last hearing, sometimes could let you do commercial. In this case, we didn't think commercial was available because it's where it belongs, at that intersection where there are a lot of shopping and other things. And I should comment also on the RPC aspect of this. The Planning Commission found that it was a superior environmental plan with design ingenuity, and they held the project locates home sites together on environmentally suitable portions. Project retains about 36% of the total site area in open space. The project preserves contiguous forest open space areas in the resource buffers and promotes wildlife corridors. The project preserves forested and landscape premier buffers, including the preservation of existing woodlands, additional protection areas, and the project establishes a landscape berm. If I could go back, and I know I'm shooting for 8 o'clock, but
that's the time for his Hallmark Channel Christmas show.
I know.
He's going to have to stay here to watch it.
Believe it or not, we were listening for 5.5 hours. Can you go back to the slide that shows the improvements down on 54 and Lighthouse Road and New Road. Sorry, I don't know which slide that is. Oh, the overall slide. What number is it? 13. Yeah, and I spoke to, and I apologize, I forgot her name, but she lives right down on the corner there. And there, as part of the TO, A, which says we want to have a right turn going in there. You know, it shows that corner, maybe taking some of her corner, and if I was her, I'd be like, wait a second, that's my corner. And plus, she's got a well issue. That's an issue that we'll have to address with her, and my client has already talked to Horsey's and somebody else who owns the south parcel, so there may be land, plenty of it over there, so nobody's going to take her parcel. So it's an issue that has to be resolved, but and we'll be happy to talk to her more about that. And I apologize, I forgot her name. I introduced myself. But maybe she forgot my name, too. And I think I went kind of fast, so if you have any questions.
Yeah, and there would be no condition that this council would put on that would require a neighboring property to give up any type of easement to go across their property.
Right, nor could they, I guess.
No,
they were
we could not.
Yeah, so and you'll see in the site plan. So let me call Russ up here and just see if he wants to add anything or confirm. Sir, state your name and your address.
Russell Garufi, 37795 New Road.
So you live right across the property?
Yes, I do.
How long have you been there?
22 years.
Oh, very good. You've heard my representations to council. Are they true and correct to this?
Yes. Knowledge? Yes. Okay. I want to state one thing on the pickleball court. I think I've heard a lot of bad things about them, so I'd rather do like a dog park, maybe something fenced in for people to have someone to take their animals. But other than that, we're good.
Okay, very good. That's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Okay. I have a couple.
Just the intersection of Route 54 there and New Road. That's a little teeny tiny road in there. And how far is DelDOT going to make you go north for improvements on New Road? Because that road is a little teeny tiny little road, and it's tight on both sides in places because of woods.
Correct. You want to identify yourself?
Sure. For the record, my name is Rich Polk with Vista Design. And you're correct, DelDOT has asked us to, or basically demanded as part of the traffic operational assessment,
okay,
to install a right turn lane from westbound 54 onto northbound New Road, as well as a left turn lane from eastbound 54 onto New Road. Once we get onto New Road, they've asked us to do frontage improvements across the entire frontage. At the intersection with 54 and New Road, those two improvements will overlap. So we're not going to stop one and then start the other. They will carry all the way through.
That was my next question.
From New Road all the way, from 54 all the way to the northern end of the project. There's no way to not combine them. They're going to expect it anyways.
How far up there is that? Do you think you'll go from 54 up to, on New Road, up to where the entrance is? Or the second entrance?
We will carry the improvements across the entire frontage. So we will basically start at the eastern right-of-way. And perhaps look at one of these cross-sections.
Ellen and I probably know this road better than anybody.
We go to slide 14. And perhaps if I could walk over to...
Sure.
Improvement at the northern entrance. What this shows with the cross-section view is there is no improvements that are happening east of the existing right-of-way on New Road. All of the improvements will be on the Marlin Cove side of the road. So we're preserving, all the private property to the east. DelDOT is asking us to improve and widen the travel lanes. So we're having to basically, from the right-of-way, we will put in a drainage swale. We'll have to install a 5-foot bike lane, 2 11-foot travel lanes, another 5-foot, basically, bike lane along the whole entire frontage, our swales, and then they want an asphalt shared-use path along the entire frontage. And that has been agreed to in the traffic operational assessment.
Okay. That's all I have. While you're on that, on New Road, I failed to mention on the portion closest to 54, there's where you lose the forested buffer. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a vegetated buffer, but during that portion, there's going to be a berm, 6-foot berm? 3?
There's a
four-foot berm and a fence in the area where there's not a forested buffer. I should have mentioned that. It's on the site plan.
Okay.
On the other side of the bike path.
If you could go to slide 11. Slide 11, there is an area on the property for orientation. This is 54 and New Road, so there's the intersection. Right now, there is an existing agricultural field on the property. So there is no woods between, basically fronting onto the New Road right-of-way.
Correct.
We are proposing to preserve the 30-foot existing forest around the perimeter of the site where it exists, as well as a 20-foot perimeter buffer, also preserved in its entirety, not impacted. In areas where there are not existing trees, we are proposing to put up to like a 3 to 4 foot berm with a 6 foot fence on top of that, and then landscape that entire 30-foot area.
Yeah, because that piece of land is under production now.
It's under production now.
Yeah.
But again, we're trying to be good stewards of the road and of the, you know, to the neighbors, to also not provide them views into the back of the neighborhood. So we're trying to block the views of the homes from the road and the adjoining properties that are used to right now, either an agricultural field or forest.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Questions?
By production, you mean like they're timbering that right now?
No, it's farmed.
Oh, okay.
If you saw one of the sites, so that's all farmed out.
Okay. And just to clarify, this gentleman lives right across the catty corner to that intersection? All right. Thank you.
On New Road across from the development.
Oh, okay.
He's picked up these parcels over the years, kind of thinking he's going to do something like this. He actually builds a lot of houses for various people, and so he's trying to maybe do his own project.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. If you don't have anything else, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Yes, ma'am. You want to come forward, please? You've had a long wait, haven't you?
Well, I'm Ellen McGee. My address is 3857 Lighthouse Road, Subbyville, Delaware. My farm joins this property. It's a family farm in the McGee family since 1865, which is 160 years. I do oppose this. They are entitled to 2 units to the acre, and I think that's what they should get. We actively farm our farm. We shoot guns, we hunt. We work real early in the morning and late at night. We have aerial sprayers at time. And I rent the hunting rights out. And with this subdivision, double the size of what they're entitled to, it will financially impact my business.
Could you tell me where you are in relationship to?
Mr. Whitehouse, can you pull up a map?
Well, our names are on here. That's not the map. This? There's 40 acres here.
And you is that entirely?
So back here is woods,
and that's okay.
And this is all fields, and there's a field here, you can see it.
So
if you do pull back the natural map, you can see that in this quadrant, yes, across the street, Bayside, you know, we have Bayside, we'll never get rid of it, but this area is not developed. That's a pretty big area. It's not just us, there's Johnson's farm and there's Dickerson's. So it's not just development all around. And I think that more than 2 units to the acre, they're not entitled to that, as I am entitled to 2 units to the acre on my property.
Now, there would be restrictions on all the deeds that would indicate that there is in an agricultural area. Also know that you just mentioned back to hunting. I know on some of my properties, I've had neighbors have put a restriction in that they are aware that the property next door does have hunting, active hunting, and, you know, sounds, et cetera, from that too. So you might want that either way.
I have to be 100 yards from a dwelling.
Yes.
So that inhibits my property rights. And county zoning should not inhibit or take away from somebody's property rights. And this would be doing that. And you have different neighbors than what we have down here. There. I can attest to that right now. So that's how I feel. I hope you'll take my comments into consideration. I think two units to the acre is quite enough for them. And my financial situation.
Can you just elaborate on that for 10 seconds? What you mean when it inhibits your...
So you can't hunt all my property. I have to be 100 yards from a dwelling, you know. So that inhibits who's going to be hunting there. Plus, I have a fence around the strawberry plants because of the development, and they keep pushing the wildlife and the deer. I mean, a strawberry field is a salad bar to a deer. So I have to put a fence all the way around to keep the deer out.
So you're leasing it or you're...
No, I grow strawberries.
No, sorry, so...
I do lease my hunting out.
Okay.
We hunt it ourselves. We shoot guns, we hunt it ourselves, and we would have to be 100 yards from a dwelling.
Okay, understood.
And they've got them cookie-cuttered in there. I hate to tell you, there's no... special draw to that.
Yeah, that was my only question.
I don't think. So.
Okay.
Does anybody have any? No?
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes.
Hello, my name is Rebecca Snyder. I live at 38229 New Road, right on the corner of 54 and New Road. When I wrote this, it was good afternoon, but now it's definitely good evening, good night, one of those.
Which corner?
That's right. I live on Route 54, right on the corner, so the east side corner. So Blue House, if you drive that a lot, I'm sure you are familiar. But so I want to start by saying my day-to-day job is working to support building and construction. I understand growth is inevitable. People want to live here. I can't blame them. This area is a little slice of heaven, so everyone wants to be here. But with the growth comes responsibility to protect the safety, the quality of life of the people who already call this place home. I have called the current address home for 26 years. My husband and I purchased our home in 1999. We were surrounded by fields and farmland, and that's what the draw of the purchase was. We've raised two kids there and multiple dogs. We love it so much, 5 years ago, we tore our old house down and built our new house on the same property. I am definitely not opposed to this project. It's inevitable, it's gonna happen. I understand growth happens. I appreciate everything that the neighbors have done to block the visual, you know, driving down the road so we don't have to look in people's backyards, that kind of thing. But I do want to address some concerns and put them on the record. That T word, of course, is the big one, the traffic. The traffic is already bad, especially in the summer. We have backups going into Ocean City, which is 4.5 miles to New Road from Coastal Highway. It backs up past our house on Saturdays. So it's approximately 5 miles that backs up into Williamsville. We don't leave our house on Saturdays. We just know, part of living here, that's the consequence of that. But what is that traffic going to look like bringing 210 new homes with the traffic onto New Road? Right now, the traffic, because it's backed up on 54, is also backed up on New Road, trying to get out onto 54. So my concerns are the traffic, how they're safely going to exit New Road. As it stands now, New Road is not a functioning modern roadway. It is narrow. It has no shoulders. In places, you have to pull over to the side of the road in order to pass other cars. I know that the project is going to widen the roads. One of the things I heard is they're not going to, you know, impose on any of the properties on the east side, which is where all the residential homes are currently at, but within the right-of-way. I know the right-of-way is the right-of-way, of course, but that is going to impact some of my yard, some of, you know, going up into, right now, New Road, your grass comes right onto the road. There's no sidewalks, there's no swells, there's no drainage. So within the right-of-way, my ask is that all of the impact, every single bit of the impact, happens on the west side, on their development side, every bit of it. The way it is now on the plans is they are moving the center line 3 foot 6 inches from the current center line of the road. I was out measuring last night. It is going to affect my property with that as only being moved 3 foot 6 inches. It's going to take part of the property, which again is a right-of-way. I can't do anything legally about that, but I just want to put that on the record that it will affect the property. The plan also, the narrowing of the road, when you turn off of Route 54 onto New Road, it is a narrow roadway. A lot of people, I hear lots of honking at night. I am right on the corner, so it has gotten worse and worse. But when people turn, especially if they're heading west, turning right onto New Road, it is a very sharp corner. It's not a direct right-hand turn. It is a sharp kind of angle turn. So on the plans, I do see a little triangle box, which is the easement. My wellhead is located right within that easement. Years ago, part of our property was purchased by the state to widen a little bit of the New Road. So again, the easement becomes, you know, further and further in, which of course the wellhead sits on now. The plan also, the widening of the road is part either my property or Ms. Truitt, who is west of New Road. Part of that has got to be purchased or somehow incorporated in the widening. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. I did speak with Ms. Truitt, and of course, she is an elderly lady, but she doesn't know of any plans of any talks of purchasing of her property. So that is my concern, is if she refuses to sell, how is that widening going to happen at the beginning of 54 and New Road? Is she going to be forced to sell? You know, that kind of thing. So another question is the turning lanes. That was addressed in the presentation, so thank you for that. I know that there is another proposed project across the road, which would be the south side of 54, directly across from New Road. Finally, I know we can't see into the future, but with another property across the road and this property here, there will have to be some sort of traffic control for safety. So is that going to be a stoplight before we stop? One of our infamous roundabouts? I don't know. But if that does happen, will my property, which I've owned since 1999, become eminent domain for the sake of traffic safety? That's my concern. I'm not against growth. I'm not against this project. I just want it. I'm asking for smart growth, safe growth, fair growth. Please take these concerns seriously. They impact real people, not just property lines. But thank you so much. I know it's been a long day. I've been here since I was here at 10 o'clock listening to the beginning of the session, so I've spent the whole day with
you.
God bless
you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
There is no one on the line.
Yeah. Can I ask Mr. President, can I ask one point of clarification?
Sure.
Jamie, is there a buffer distance difference between an MR proposal versus an AR1 2-to-the-acre scenario?
So in the code, RPCs, in an RPC, you can essentially come up with your own lot sizes and stuff, but when it comes to buffers around residential developments, it's just a residential development. And the code was clear that all residential developments shall now conform with the new requirements.
Yeah.
It used to be years ago you could go down to 20 in an RPC, and that's why you see some out there with 20. So.
I guess it just occurred to me, unfortunately, it doesn't matter the type. It wouldn't, I don't think it would materially change your, what you could do on the hunting aspect, but yeah, I think you have
yes.
to go there.
Yes.
If it's 60 acres and you can get 120 acres, you've got them cookie cutter in here now. You can spread them out. You could make the buffer. You're only going to have half. And if it's 2 units to the acre, you can't have townhouses. You can only have single family homes.
Right.
So, yes, they could.
I see. I see what you're saying. Okay. That was my only point. Thanks, Jamie. But to the president.
Mr. Moore.
Quick.
Okay.
I think.
And no traffic.
No, and I respect Mrs. McGee quite a lot. But I mean, the 2 units the acre with a cluster, there would be overall less density, but the buffers would be the same. Mm. So maybe less houses and less proximity to those houses, but they would still be the same way from the distance from a property.
I think that's
maybe not as many.
While you're up there, how close are they to her property line, any of the houses?
They're 50.
Yes.
The mic, Tracy.
Well, they'd be right here. Yeah,
hit you plus buffer. Plus
70 feet. Yeah, and a setback is 70 feet, so.
Okay. So that's 70 feet. To the house or to the lot?
To the back of the house, to the back of the building restriction line.
Okay.
That is a 50-foot preserved forest and forest buffer and 20-foot rear yard setback.
Okay, 70-some feet, so roughly 25 yards. Okay.
It's good for me.
Okay.
Okay. At this time, Mr. President, we closed a public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
If it's okay, we'll close the public hearing. Close the public record. Mr. Moore, would you please read a short title?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential plan community district, 210 units. For certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 60.84 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8 with conditions 9A through R.
Would you make a motion to defer?
Mr. President, I'll make a motion to defer.
Motion, Mr. Riley, to defer.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunewald. Any questions? Or none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron. Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Yes, to defer.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes, to defer.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes to defer as well. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
A motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Any questions on the motion? And then we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes, we're now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Mr. Moore, I enjoy having